Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome. So good to see everyone. For anyone who is new, I'm Emma Katz, and I am very excited to welcome back Rabbi Yehuda Myers, who is a alumni of the YU Torah Mitzion Kollel and is currently serving as the rabbi in Lincolnwood Jewish Congregation, as well as a Rebbe in Ida Crown. And we're very excited to have Rabbi Myers, who, when he was in the Kollel, was often a frequent speaker for Neely. And now that he's an alumni, we don't let the alumni off so easy either way. So we're very happy to have Rabbi Myers back for this series called Wake Up with Neely, that every year we try to do some sort of practical halacha series. And this year we're going to be talking about different aspects of the halachot of waking up in the morning. So Rabbi Myers, thank you so much for teaching us this evening and for the coming few weeks. We're very excited to learn together.
Thank you, Emma. Always a pleasure. Thank you everyone for joining us this evening. In honor of the class being titled Wake Up with Neely, I decided to have a morning voice for the first class. The truth is that, unfortunately, I have a little bit of a cold, so that's why I have this voice. I ask you all to bear with me while we do the class this evening. Thank God I'm feeling okay, but I still have a lingering, raspy voice of sorts. So thank you for coming and looking forward to learning this evening together. So the topic we're discussing tonight, although it is a Neely topic, a Neely series, the truth is that tonight's halachot, tonight's laws, and what we will be learning is equally relevant to both men and women. There is almost zero differentiation between the laws in the Netilas Yadayim for men and women. And therefore, anything we learn tonight, feel free to share with the men in your lives, whether that be spouses, children, friends, family, etc. This is an equal opportunity class for people of all genders. So tonight's topic that was requested was, what are the laws of Netilas Yadayim? And the truth is that Netilas Yadayim really has many different applications. So before we get into that, I'm going to share my screen. God willing, this will go smoothly, and we'll be able to all learn together this evening. So here we go. Let's open the screen share. Okay. Roz, I can see you. Can you see the screen? Great, we're good. Okay, thank you. Okay. So we're going to talk about tonight both the origins of Netilas Yadayim, both the background to it, as well as the practical halacha, the observance of the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. So first, as we pointed out, that there are numerous types of Netilas Yadayim. The first of the two most common are Netilas Yadayim in the morning. I mean, that's the one we do every single morning, as well as Netilas Yadayim we do before any davening, really, whether or not we're davening mincha or marv. We're supposed to wash our hands beforehand as well. Not with a bracha, but it really is in many ways related to Netilas Yadayim we do in the morning. And then obviously the one most of us are familiar with, if not all of us, is Netilas Yadayim done before eating bread, before a seuda. Those are the two most common ones. Other ones that aren't as common, but still pretty well known, are Netilas Yadayim done after leaving a cemetery, as well as Netilas Yadayim that is done by the Kohanim, in Shul, before Birkas Kohanim, before the blessing of the priests on Yamim Tovim. So there are many types of Netilas Yadayim. However, tonight, we are in the middle of the Wake Up with Neely series, so we'll be focusing only on the first, that is Netilas Yadayim in the morning. We're focusing on both the origins and the practical halachic ramifications of that class, that type of Netilas Yadayim. So the first most basic question is, why? Why do we do Netilas Yadayim? What's the reason why we do it? We all know we do it. Since we're little children, we do it. But why? What's the basis? What's the halachic basis for doing Netilas Yadayim? Now, what's interesting is that the bracha of Netilas Yadayim, which we all know is Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, our God, the King of the world, Asher Kiddishanu B'mitzvosa B'tzivanu, who commanded us with his, sorry, sanctified us with his commandments, and commanded us to Tzivanu Al Netilas Yadayim, and commanded us regarding the commandment of washing our hands. Now, that would imply that it's a biblical mitzvah, that it's a mitzvah in the Torah, as we say in the bracha, that God commanded us to do Netilas Yadayim. Right? That would imply that it's a mitzvah from the Torah. However, as we will soon discover, it is most definitely not a biblical mitzvah. It's a rabbinic enactment. And yet, we still say that God commanded us to do this mitzvah. So how can we say that? How can we say that it's a biblical mitzvah? Like, how can we say that God commanded us to do this when the mitzvah is only rabbinic in nature? So the truth is, this question isn't only true regarding Netilas Yadayim. It also comes up regarding the mitzvah of Chanukah, of lighting the menorah in Chanukah, where we say that we're commanded Asher Kiddushan B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, that we were commanded by God to light the Chanukah candle. And the mitzvah of lighting menorah is also only rabbinic in nature. And the same thing is true for the next holiday, which we're about to happen, which is Purim, where we say the same thing. We have the mitzvah Likro Megillah, and that also is only rabbinic in nature. So how do we have for all these mitzvos that we say the blessing beforehand, that we are commanded by God to do this mitzvah, when we weren't commanded by God? It's only rabbinic. How could we say a lie? Why would we lie before we make these blessings for these mitzvos? So it's a good question, and there are numerous approaches to this question. But one of the most famous ones, really a foundation of all rabbinic mitzvos, which Netilas Yadayim is one of the main ones. It's a rabbinic mitzvah which we do every single day. And that is that we have a mitzvah from the Torah to listen to the council, to listen to our sages, to listen to Chazal. And therefore, since we have a mitzvah to listen to our sages, so the mitzvos which they enact are an extension of that biblical mitzvah. Since we are required from the Torah to listen to the rabbis, to our sages, therefore when we fulfill a mitzvah derabanan, we are in essence fulfilling a biblical commandment as well. And this really is a foundation for our approach towards all rabbinic mitzvahs, towards all rabbinic commandments. They're not optional. Some people think, oh, rabbinic means optional. No, no, it's not optional. It's a requirement like any other. We are commanded, part of being a observant Jew, a growth-oriented Jew, as someone who takes his rabbinic mitzvos and mitzvos derabanan just as seriously as the mitzvos derais, as the biblical mitzvos themselves. So regarding the mitzvah Netilas Yadayim, if it's only rabbinic in nature, so why do the rabbis enact it? If it's not a bit, if the Torah never said to wash our hands in the morning every single day, so why do we do it? What's the basis for the rabbis coming up with this decree, this mitzvah? So there, we're going to see three approaches tonight, three approaches to answering this question, why we do the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. But before we jump in, I'd love to see if anyone here has any thoughts, any suggestions as to why we do the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. Feel free to jump in. That's also okay if no one has any thoughts.
Can I say something?
I guess so.
Okay, thanks. Hi. So isn't it when we're sleeping, there's the idea that we're considered like we're died, like our neshama maybe left our body or something. And that so there's that impurity when we wake up in the morning that we need to have that ritual washing to clean ourselves.
Beautiful, beautiful, for sure. It's one of the approaches we're going to see. Very good. Yeah, that basic aqua education paid off. Anyone else have any recommendations? Any thoughts? Why we may have a mitzvah to do Netilas Yadayim? Okay, let's jump in. We're going to see three different approaches. The first is along lines of what my mother just said, which is from the Rashba. And that is the rebirth. The rebirth. The Rashba writes, L'fi shebeshachar, anu na'asim kivriya chadasha. Since in the morning we are considered like a brand new creation. L'fichach, anu tzrichin l'hiskadesh b'kidushaso v'litol yadeinu min ha'kli k'koin shebemikdash shebekadesh yadav min ha'ki or kodem avodaso. Since in the morning we are reborn. Every morning, a Jew is considered a born again. And therefore, since we are born again new as Jews, and we are going to enter into our brand new role every single day with a new opportunity, a new chance to serve God and this world, so we wash our hands, imitating the washing of the hands of the Kohanim before they began their service in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. So we are imitating to some degree the Kohanim. We are brand new, a brand new opportunity every single day to serve God. And therefore we wash our hands to almost enact and imitate the Kohanim, what they did in the Beis HaMikdash for their service of God. So that's the first idea. This is known as the Briya Chadasha approach. We are a new creation every single day. So any questions, feel free to jump in. You can always unmute yourself to jump in.
I do have a question.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for asking if we have questions. I was going to put it in the chat.
If you can introduce yourself, that'd be great.
My name is Chaya. Hi. Thank you so much for having this going on here. It's awesome.
Welcome.
And thank you. And so I get that. And that's really awesome. That makes sense. But you also said that, you know, we do the same thing before bread. I understand how this rebirth might have to do with leaving the cemetery, because like you just came from people being dead, and someone leaving the cemetery is not dead. And then the Kohanim, I get it, also kind of like they're doing something. I don't know. I guess the question is like the Kohanim and also before the bread. And before davening, the other reasons you gave, I'm assuming you might bring this up later on in the speech. I have no idea. It's just some question that came up with this rebirth thing. If it's the same,
So it's a good question. There are definitely some similarities between the Netilas Yadayim for the morning and the Netilas Yadayim that we do before we eat bread. There are definitely some similarities, and even some of the reasons do overlap. This one is a little bit, you know, more, well, it's, I would say part of the reason does overlap, meaning that we are not considered a Briya Chadasha before every single meal. What you ate earlier that day, still sticking on your gut. It's not considered a brand new day just because you're having a new meal. So that's not a similar idea. However, the idea that we are imitating the Kohanim and their service in the Beis HaMikdash, that is an approach as to why we wash Netilas Yadayim before we break bread. And the idea being over there, that we really are supposed to appreciate that our Shulchan, when we eat, that is supposed to be an act of servicing God. It's not supposed to be just us serving our bellies. We're not supposed to just be worshiping our boichs. We're supposed to be appreciating that we eat to give us energy to serve God, which is why the Gemara states that our shulchan, our table, has the status of the mizbeach some degree, which is why we put salt on our table. Right? The main reason, two main reasons, but one of the main reasons why we have salt on our table, before we make hamotzi, is because there was salt on the Mizbeach. So the same thing is true by our tables when we eat bread. So yes, there is that similarity, but there are definitely going to be differences. For sure, there could be another class, another series on the Tilos Adayim before making hamotzi, before eating bread, for Suda. We're going to primarily focus tonight on the Tilos Adayim it's done in the morning before when we wake up in the morning. So that's, but yeah, it's for sure a good point, and there actually are overlap and similarities. So that's the first approach. The second approach is the one offered by the Rush. The Rush says, the reality is, Lefi sheyadav shel adam askanios him. People's hands are very busy when they're sleeping. Ve'ef shar shelo yigu bebasar metunaf balayla. When one's sleeping, one has no control over one's hands when they're sleeping. And there's almost a guarantee that while one is sleeping, one will have accidentally or even purposely touched a part of their body, which is normally covered, which is considered a makom metunaf, which is a certain degree of tumah associated with it. And therefore, since our hands during the night become dirty, therefore we wash our hands in the morning. Now this idea of yados, askanios, of dirty hands is really the reason why we wash Netilas Yadayim before any davening, right? We're supposed to wash Netilas Yadayim before Mincha, before Maariv, because the principle is equally true during the day. Throughout the day, our hands are busy. We touch things without paying attention, without realizing where we're putting our hands. And therefore, to sanctify our hands for davening, we do Netilas Yadayim. So already you can see a distinction between these two ideas. That the first approach, that of the Rashba, was focused on hachana, preparation for the day as a whole. We're a brand new creation each morning, brand new day, wash our hands. The Rush's approach about our hands being dirty is really specific regarding davening. It's in a preparation for davening as opposed to a broader preparation for the day as a whole. These are the two main approaches. The last is a more Kabbalistic idea, which does find its sources in the Gemara as well. It's a little bit more esoteric, harder to explain, but I will discuss it because it does play a role in the halacha as well. And that is the idea of the Ruach Ra'a, the evil spirit. And this itself is, you should just be aware that the halachic discussion regarding it is full of a lot of ambiguities, because there's a lot of machlokas. When does Ruach Ra come into play? When do we see Ruach Ra play an effect and a role? And on top of that, there is also a very large camp of Rishonim, of medieval commentaries, leading all the way down to modern-day poskim, who say that Ruach Ra no longer plays a role in halachic discourse. That Ruach Ra was a thing of the past. It was a thing of times of the Gemara. And already, we see already the Balei Tosfos, the Rambam as well, already not discussing Ruach Ra at all and their halachic codification of the laws of Netilas Yadayim and beyond. But despite that being the case, practically speaking, we still do take in consideration Ruach Ra, because at the end of the day, it isn't the biggest deal. It doesn't really affect that much, but it is, you should know, there is this little bit of a little darkness, a little bit of unclarity to Ruach Ra. So what is Ruach Ra? Well, the idea is that at nighttime, during the night, there is a time of choshech, a time of darkness in the world, and therefore there is this Ruach Ra which descends upon the world, descends upon places where there is evening, where there's darkness. And we can look at it in many different ways. One is echoing the words of my mother, who before she's quoted idea, the Gemara says this. The Gemara says, that sleeping, that when one goes to sleep, is considered echad b'shishim imisa, considered 1/60th of death. So in some way, shape, or form, when one at nighttime, one goes to sleep, they are experiencing some level of tuma of one who passes away, God forbid. That's one idea. Another idea, just at a very simple level, during the day, in your time zone, when it's daytime, people are learning Torah, they're doing mitzvos, they're davening, and at nighttime, for the most part, not much is happening, right? The positive spiritual forces of the world are silent to a strong degree. So this Ruach Ra, the negative evil forces of the world, have a stronger hold, a stronger force upon the world. And therefore, this is Ruach Ra. So the third reason why we wash our hands in the morning is because when we wake up in the morning, there's a Ruach Ra upon our hands, this evil spirit to some degree, and therefore we wash our hands at Tehillat Yadayim to rid ourselves of this evil spirit. Now, as we said, really, in halacha, the first two reasons are the ones that really come into play regarding the basis for doing Tehillat Yadayim. However, it's important to note that this Ruach Ra does modify in really three basic ways are the halachos of Netilas Yadayim, and they are as follows. The first is that when we do Netilas Yadayim in the morning, which we'll get into in a second, the exact routine we're supposed to do, but we know that for Netilas Yadayim in the morning, we do the triple wash, which means we wash our right, left, right, left, right, left. And the reason for the triple wash for an Atiyas Yadayim in the morning, as opposed to, we know when we wash our hands for bread, we only do the double wash. The third one is for this Ruach Ra. That's the first ramification. One second. The second practical ramification is that we are not supposed to touch parts of our body with them, which have an opening on them, before we do Tehillat Yadayim in the morning, which means we shouldn't be touching our nose, our mouth, our ears, any private parts that have openings in them as well. We should make sure we are supposed to first wash our hands before touching anything. And the reason is, the same idea, we don't want to spread the Ruach Ra into our actual body. That's the second ramification. And the third is, in order to, we don't want this Ruach Ra to linger upon our hands. Therefore, we wash them as soon as possible after waking up. So those are the three practical ramifications from the Ruach Ra.
Okay.
Any questions? Feel free to jump in.
I have a quick question. I learned once a long time ago that if you wake up in the middle of the night, and you just can't fall back to sleep, let's say, do you have to wash?
So we're going to discuss that tonight. So good question. We're going to discuss it in a little bit. Thank you for asking. Okay, so let's go through the standard morning routine. Here's a standard routine for everyone's morning. First thing is, your alarm clock goes off. You're supposed to snooze it at least once. It's a mitzvah. Just kidding. The next, you're supposed to wake up like a lion. You're supposed to, you know, that's the words of the Shulchan Aruch, arise like a lion in the morning. The next thing, you should smile. It's healthy to smile. The first three are more or less jokes, except for the second one. The fourth thing, we're supposed to say Moda Ani. Moda Ani we say right away. While we're still in our beds, we say Moda Ani. If you're a man, you should put your kippah on, your kepi. Make sure it's on. So now this is where it becomes, where Netilas Yadayim comes into play. So ideally, if we don't have to go so badly, if we're not itching, if we're not running to the bathroom like a meshugana, so the first thing we're supposed to do before we go to the bathroom even is we're first supposed to wash Netilas Yadayim. but without a bracha. No bracha, just Netilas Yadayim. Then we use the bathroom. Then we go to the bathroom. Right? And the reason for this is because of that Rach Ra issue. We want to make sure that our hands have already done Netilas Yadayim before we touch parts of our body which have openings. Then, after we go to the bathroom, we do Netila again, this time with a bracha. Now, if you have a bathroom that has a separate room, a separate little room for the toilet, so you make Netila, so you can close the door and you can make Netila in the washing room. However, if you do not have that, if your bathroom is just one room altogether, so then what you do after you go to the bathroom, you wash Netilas Yadayim, you take the towel out with you, you rub your hands together, you make the bracha, you dry them, and you throw the towel back into the bathroom. Make sure it lands on the floor so it upsets your spouse enough. So that's, you make the bracha out of the bathroom. But you could do it until tonight in the bathroom, bracha out of the bathroom. Although you should make sure that when you do the netila, you do the netila the second time, you should make sure that the toilet is flushed. You should not be doing tisadayim if the toilet is not flushed. So important to know that. And then after you finish that, then you make the bracha of Asher Yatzar. So that's the morning routine with Netilas Yadayim. Some have a stringency to put next to their bed a cup with water and a washing basin. I do not do that. I asked Rabbi Yonah Reis. He also does not do that. There are some who do it. There in certain communities, it is very widely accepted to that extra stringency. It's a nice thing to do. As long as you're not going to dump it over, knock it over, to have the cup right next to your bed. But most poskim nowadays say, if the bathroom is nearby your room, it's okay. You go to the bathroom, do it there. You don't have to do it next to your bed. So that's important to know. That does exist, but not necessarily widely practiced. So just someone asked a question, I'll address it. So I'm going to ask, so practically, one washes, uses bathroom, steps out of the bathroom, then makes the bracha at this time. Then say Asher Yatzar after. So just to clarify. So the practical, if you try to do it the best way possible, it's you wash your hands, no bracha. Use the bathroom, do the Netilas Yadayim again, then step out of the bathroom, make the bracha, and then do Asher Yatzar. So your Netilas Yadayim must be after using the bathroom. Now, whether or not you do the initial one, is based off whether or not how badly you have to go. If you can do it, if you can wait the 30 seconds it takes to wash your hands and dry them initially to do your initial netila, then that's great. If you have to go so badly, so that's fine. Go to the bathroom, do netilas yadayim, leave the bathroom, make the bracha, dry your hands, and then say Asher Yatzar. And you should make the bracha as soon as possible. So you should wait to dry your hands till after you make the bracha. Yes. The reason that's the case is because really, Netilas Yadayim really contradicts a basic premise in halachic bracha, in Hilchos Brachos. And that is that normally the rule is that we always make the bracha over la'asiyasan. We're supposed to make the bracha before we do the mitzvah, which is why we make the bracha for the Chanukah candles before we light them. We make a bracha on lulav before we shake it. We make a bracha on halal before we bench halal. So why do we not follow that for an Netilas Yadayim? So the answer is because we can't make a bracha if our hands are dirty, if our hands are tummy. So therefore, we have no choice but to make the bracha after. But since really we should make the bracha before, we want to do it right away. We want to do it as soon as possible. So that's why we first make the bracha, then we dry our hands. Okay. Any questions? Feel free to jump in about the timeline.
I have a question.
Yes, feel free.
Okay. Well, there's actually two. One is, okay, so I understand the first one, if you don't have to worry about making it to the bathroom, we say without a bracha. Then the second one, you know, you say with the bracha. Okay. So let's say the second time, could you possibly not say the bracha yet? Let's say you have to go to the bathroom. Could you jump into the shower and then get dressed and then do an official Matila Yadayim and everything?
Yes.
And, you know, daven. Can you do it that way?
Yes. Great question.
I'm thinking, well, the reason I'm thinking is because if you go to the bathroom, the other way that you mentioned here on the list, you know, you're still in your morning pajamas. This way you could be completely dressed and, you know, and everything. And then, you know, you do Natila, you dye him. And
so, you know, and then 100%.
So you can do it that way, right?
No, so yeah, you're right. So I it's my fault. It's an oversight. If one is going to shower right away in the morning, one should only do the second Natila with the bracha after one showers. So
okay. So that's
great point. Thank you. I'll make sure I edit that for the next.